This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Pauly Sebelia.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us alongside Pauly Sebelia. I'm Stephen Fonte as we welcome you into a Friday edition of Orange Nation. Look who's back in the office with us.
Yes.
Welcome back, Pauly Sebelia.
It's good to be here and good to be heard.
Yeah.
I believe is the saying.
It's good to have you back here in studio with us. I do want to just clear this up right off the top of the show. I noticed on social media yesterday some people believing that Dino Babers had that test done and whatnot because of you. They thought maybe it was you who had COVID. But just to clear that up, you were in the same boat as Dino Babers, yes?
Yes, as the article in the Syracuse.com has said, I was in protocol. And out of abundance of caution for a couple days, I got tested and I stayed home and did the show from the studio, so I didn't spread it around this office.
And just like Dino, you had no symptoms, got the test done.
And multiple negative tests. I've had a lot of Q-tips up my nose the past couple of days, and back at it.
Well, it is good to have you back. We do have a lot to get to on the show today. A lot of different topics, too. We are going to talk some SU basketball in the next segment. Mike Waters from Syracuse.com will join us to discuss the SU men's basketball schedule released in its entirety last night. Brandon Steiner, who we didn't get to yesterday from BidCX.com and Athlete Direct, he will join us at 12:30. So we'll try again with Brandon Steiner. We've got Roger Weiland coming up at 1:15. He's the Albany play-by-play voice. I feel like I'm missing somebody.
Bill's person, right?
Oh, right. Elena Getzenberg, right. Thank you.
That one.
I was looking at a rundown. I thought she was at 1, but I guess she's been moved to 1:30. So there you go. We've got four guests to get to on the show today. Plus, we'll play some trivia. We've got a pair of tickets to give away to Syracuse Albany at some point. And we'll get to your phone calls at any time. 315-437-7644.
The tickets we're giving away are e-tickets, too, so we can email them. You don't have to worry about not getting here in time to pick them up. So.
Perfect. And again, kickoff set for noon tomorrow inside the Dome as Dino Babers looks to decide on his quarterback by the end of that game tomorrow.
Yeah, I was at his show last night, and the way he's wording it, you know, you said it's going to be before the first ACC game they'll have a decision. It's going to be before Liberty.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Yeah. Hearing his comments from last night, he was a little bit stronger on those comments in terms of deciding after this Albany game. When we talked to him at noon yesterday, he originally said after the Albany game, and then I followed up with, so you're going to have a starting quarterback. And at that point, he said, well, you know, definitely we want to have somebody in place by the start of the ACC. So he kind of hedged his bets there. But last night, he sounded a little more definitive on it's for all the marbles here.
Yeah, and I don't know why he would need to see more of Tommy DeVito. Let me ask you this. Do you think this is going to be an audition for Garrett Schrader? Like, are they going to split why even march Tommy out there at first? Let Garrett go first.
Well, I think if it was obviously Tommy, then they wouldn't be doing this. I know what you're saying. You're saying they haven't seen enough of Garrett Schrader.
He said multiple times about multiple players last night, you have to see a player in a game.
Right.
You have to. He goes, you'll learn within three games whether they can they're either going to be really good at it, they'll be equal average at it, or they can't cut it.
Right. And he pointed out that the plan against Rutgers was Tommy first quarter, Garrett second quarter, and then see what happens. He would play the guy who was playing better, and he said that that's why Tommy got the second half, is that he feels like Tommy is ahead. So this comes down to what can Garrett show him. And my only thing, I said this yesterday, I'm going to continue to say this, because if he comes and it comes out tomorrow and just plays great and they just score a lot, and again, I can't help but wonder aloud, does he look great because it's Albany? Right. And so I think that's why you almost have to play both guys, so you have something to compare it to.
Steve, you have to look great against Albany. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But I'm saying if Tommy doesn't get the chance to come out and look great,
we've seen Tommy for years.
Right. But
everybody has.
We've seen him against everybody. So we're going to make the decision based on how Garrett Schrader looks against Albany, is what I'm saying. So
it's all you got, right?
Right, but I almost feel like you need to play them both.
But you know what you've got in the backup now. If Tommy doesn't get it, you know what you got.
Right. I understand where you're coming from. You said, why throw Tommy out there tomorrow? And all I'm saying is I personally see some benefit in throwing Tommy out there tomorrow because you can compare. They're playing against the same team on the same day with the same personnel against the same defense. Now go do what you do, and now we can compare how the offense goes. And so, yeah, maybe they side on the err on the side of seeing more of Garrett because they need to see more of Garrett. But I do think there's benefit to seeing both guys. You know, let them both get reps in the first. You're rolling your eyes at me.
No, I understand it. I just think we know what, if we don't know what Tommy is or how he would have done against this Albany team by now, you know, we've seen him for two games this year already.
Yeah, but against Ohio.
We've seen him for years.
Yeah. Okay.
Just
so what are you thinking? Like, how do you think this thing's going to play out?
Like, if Garrett Schrader goes out there and plays well, I think he is going to overtake. I might be crazy on this, but I think he's going to overtake Tommy.
Okay. Yeah, I almost feel like the opposite at this point. I feel like, I don't know. My gut feeling is they're doing this so that they can know for sure that they have the right guy in Tommy. I think it's Tommy's job to lose.
If they don't know by now, like, Tommy shouldn't even be in this position right now.
Right.
That's why I'm leaning towards, they're not confident in Tommy DeVito yet. That's why I'm leaning towards Garrett Schrader has every opportunity to steal this job this weekend. Because Tommy should own it. Right?
Yeah, we look at this differently. We do. We look at this differently. The way that I look at it is, this is my gut, my personal feeling on this is that they believe Tommy's the starter, but they want to give Garrett a fair shake because when they recruited him, whatever they said, you're going to get a fair shake. And in order to truly give him a fair shake, they got to see him in games. We didn't really see him against Ohio at all. Came in mop-up duty. We saw him for three possessions against Rutgers in a game that was up in the air. And I think this is kind of like the last straw is that it's, all right, you're going to get a lot of time against Albany. And unless he absolutely dazzles, I think it's going to be very easy to say, well, Tommy's been the guy. Tommy is still the guy. We gave Garrett a chance, but he was eh.
We've seen Tommy play against Ohio, who has now lost to Duquesne and Louisiana right. Lafayette.
But Tommy and wasn't asked to do a lot in that game.
We saw him against Rutgers.
Yeah.
We've seen him for the past few years. We know what he is. The offense isn't moving, you know? Right now with Tommy, it's not. And I think this is Garrett Schrader's opportunity against Albany to cut. It may only be for two games. It may be for one game, but I think he's going to get a shot to make the offense click. Cause it sure as hell isn't clicking under Tommy DeVito.
I would say this, and I agree with you, obviously, that the offense is not clicking. But when you look at the Rutgers game, who moved the ball better? And I will go and listen, they scored the touchdown when Tommy was out there. He had the long pass and then the handoff.
He got him in the field goal range.
They had another drive that Taj fumbled on the 5-yard line that it really wasn't a fumble. They had the drive before that when the Luke Benson penalty. I mean, they would have been inside what, the 25-yard line at that point. The Luke Benson penalty brings it back. That drive gets stalled. I'm not saying that, you know, they look like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs out there, but I'm saying like
But you're using three examples from last game. And we've got a one, like, I know he didn't play, four games last year he played in?
Yeah, right, that like, hurt, yeah.
Yeah, they lost three of them.
I know.
They've lost to Rutgers this year.
They got to figure it out. We look at this differently. You think that the job is there for the taking, and you may be right. My gut tells me.
If I was head coach, it sure as hell would be.
My gut tells me that this is kind of like a, you know, all right, you know, we promised him that we would see a lot of them.
Smoke and mirrors.
If they thought Garrett Schrader was ready, and this is, again, my opinion, if they thought Garrett Schrader was the better quarterback, we would have seen him sooner than the last drive of the game against Ohio.
I don't know. They may not have been comfortable with him knowing the offense. He could be at a point. I think this is his opportunity to take it. He may not take it, but I think this is his opportunity to.
And I wonder aloud what he has to do to take it.
Like, he should be warming up with that song from the Karate Kid right now. You're the best around, just getting all pumped up to go out and rip the great drains to shreds.
Sweep the leg.
Yeah. Like, he should be out, ready. I really think it is. And this is what Coach Bieber said about it last night.
Well, we're going to make a decision after this game. So I would love clarity. If not, we'll still make a decision after this game.
I mean, which way do you think he's leaning, Paul?
Well, I think if Garrett Schrader goes out and outperforms, he's going to get the job. But I also think that the bar, Tommy DeVito, it's his job if Garrett goes out.
And I guess the way that I look at it is you got a guy who's in his fifth year in the program who, you know, there is, a certain loyalty between
whose
a coach and a quarterback.
Was coming on in relief. In relief for a game. And that's where I hate the fact that our radio station still holds on to that. Like, that highlight is in everything we do for the football.
Right.
Like, give me a break. That's over. It's over.
Right. Remember when we were kids and we played kickball or wiffle ball and the tie goes to the runner? I feel like the tie goes to Tommy DeVito here. Do you agree with that?
Like, I don't get why. Why does it have to? Why do we just want more of the same? Like, and I'm not.
It's not my decision. I'm saying what my gut is telling me about, like, seeing this situation. If it was truly close, again, in my mind, if it was truly close, we would have seen Garrett. I mean, do you remember?
But if it's not close, why are they doing this? Just to keep him from transferring?
I don't know. Maybe maybe they want to be absolutely certain, or they want to feel like they gave him a fair shake.
That means it's not.
But if it was close, we would have seen him against Ohio sooner than the very last thing, right? I mean, we saw Tommy DeVito. You know, Dungy is the starting quarterback. Dungy's senior year, right, where they started at Western Michigan. We saw Tommy DeVito, in the middle of the game.
Went horribly.
I know, but we saw him because
Do you don't think they learned their lesson to go on the road into MAC school and throw their backup quarterback out after that? You ended up having to go back to your starter in that game.
Right. And what I'm saying is if they, in my opinion, if they felt like it was close, we would have seen the guy that they think might be close to being their starting quarterback. Let's see how he handles this on the road in our opener.
No,
let's see how he does.
I think they didn't want to get burned.
Okay.
I thought it was a sensible thing to do.
That's the beauty of sports talk radio. We disagree on this.
They were not putting their quarterback out there to win the game. Either one of them.
I think if you say if Garrett Schrader outperforms Tommy, he's the starter. And what I would say is I think he has to, like, I think it has to be a cavernous gap between what Tommy does and what Garrett does.
We've got years of...
This isn't Stephen Fonte. I'm trying to think I'm assessing the situation of what I think Dino is going to do.
I know, but at what point do you say, you know what, kid, we've given you enough shots. Let's try somebody else.
Right.
You know?
And they're going to try him on Saturday. I'm saying I think it's got to be obvious.
And it's not all the quarterback's fault. For God's sakes, the offensive line's been terrible for Tommy DeVito. The receivers the past... Last game, we're not getting separation.
And I will say this, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but go ahead.
Let me just say, Garrett Schrader has one thing working for him. He can make more time for the offensive line and the receivers.
So what was his headline play, the highlight play from Saturday?
Rolling out and making a bad pass across field that completed.
Right. And Dino brought that up last night, too. Yeah. He said, you know what? It worked out, but that's not... necessarily sustainable, that particular play. You don't want to be doing that on a regular basis.
But could Tommy have done that?
No. If Tommy did, it probably would have been a pick. And I understand that.
And I'm not saying Garrett Schrader went out and lit it up. Like, he missed two wide open receivers. But
right.
And he's also only had a few shots to build up chemistry with these guys.
I think here's the thing. If they both play, if they play even on Saturday, Tommy's the starter. There's not a doubt in my mind. And if it's Garrett plays slightly better than Tommy, I still think DeVito's.
I think slightly better gets you.
All right. I don't. I think it's got to be Tommy struggles and Garrett is awesome. That's what I think
Tommy
has to happen.
Tommy struggles. We've seen the Tommy struggles.
But against Albany, I'm saying.
I don't know.
That's the way I perceive this, and we'll find out. It's gonna be captivating. At least we have a reason to care about this Albany game, right? There's a reason to be fully invested in this game.
But there's
tomorrow.
Also a reason that an SEC school recruited. Although SEC schools recruited Tommy too, so
right. And there's also a reason that he didn't win the job there, yes. And then he got moved his position. And
yeah, but Mississippi State has a way higher bar for the quarterback than Syracuse University.
I understood.
Can even afford
Listen, I think the reason we disagree on this is because it's not black and white. It's obviously not black and white because the head coach at this point, you know, two games into the
either
season,
either that or he's just trying to have a kid not transfer.
That could be as well.
And this would be the greatest PR move in the history of mankind.
That he's just placating him, throwing him out there, saying, hey, see, you know, we said we're going to play you. Here's some time.
Yeah, and CBW brings up a great point. It might be that just neither one of them are great.
I think there's a good chance of that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we've talked about this, and not to disparage them, but they both have strengths and weaknesses. And we said this the other day. If you could combine their strengths, you'd take the strengths from Garrett and the strengths from Tommy.
You'd have a
hell of a quarterback. Unfortunately, you know, they do things differently. They've got some things they do well. They've got some things they don't do so well. And that's why this is a difficult decision. We got to take a time out here.
I do want to just say, like, there was a quarterback last year that played because he was forced to play.
Yeah.
Is he fallen that far out of favor?
Obviously. I mean, yes. It's,
or are they going to redshirt him? You know,
it seems like a two-horse race at this point, you know? So we'll see. You know, talking about Jacoby and Morgan, yes. I don't know. But it seems to be a two-horse race, not a three-horse race at this point. It's funny because we were going to start the show today talking about the New York Giants. I don't know how we got talking about SU football.
We live
I'm glad
in Syracuse,
we did.
Steve.
No, I know.
Live
I know.
Local.
At some point, we got to talk about that Giants game from last night. Maybe we'll do so a little bit later on. We've got back-to-back guests lined up for you now, though. We've got Mike Waters from Syracuse.com coming up next to talk some basketball, and then Brandon Steiner coming up at 12:30. We're just getting started on a Friday edition of Orange Nation. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
This is Orange Nation.
All right, Stephen Pauly back with you here on a Friday edition of Orange Nation. Having trouble connecting with Brandon Steiner, so we'll see if we can bring him on before the end of the show. But we mentioned off the top that we wanted to talk some New York Giants football. We didn't get to it in that first segment. They ended up talking some Syracuse football, but man, what a tough way to lose last night. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people debating, whether it's on Twitter, social media, or on, you know, various network shows, you know, who's to blame for that loss last night? You know, is it Darius Slayton for dropping that wide open touchdown that really would have ended the game? It would have put the Giants up by 10 midway through the fourth quarter. You know, is it Dexter Lawrence for jumping off sides on the field goal try and then giving Washington another crack at it? You know, is it Joe Judge for that matter? A lot of blame to go around last night as the Giants lose a heartbreaker. Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, it was not Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones looked good. But there is plenty of blame to go around. So let's play back some of the calls from last night, beginning
as you heard
with that Darius Slayton drop.
Jones takes the snap, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, going for the deep ball down the middle, and it's dropped in the end zone! Slayton had it and he dropped it! It was slightly overthrown, but Slayton couldn't reel it in. He was open by about 15 yards.
Oh boy. I mean, no, that hit him right in the hands, Bob. Not slightly overthrown. That one dropped right into his palms. Wow.
I love their broadcast because they don't hide their emotions or when somebody does something stupid, they let it be known.
There's Bob Papa, of course, on the call. And we had it for you right here on ESPN Radio last night. So that would have put the Giants up by 10 with about 5-6 minutes to go. That would have won them the game. When I hear people say Darius Slayton lost them the game, I don't agree with that. That would have won them the game. Like, that would have locked it up. I have a hard time believing Washington would have come back from 10 down.
But if you lose, aren't you saying the same thing?
No, because
like
there
if
was
he
still
had the opportunity.
That was a chance to seal the victory, right? And there was more football to be played after that. So they obviously did not score a touchdown on that drive. They had to settle for a field goal. So they gave away 4 points, and that, you know, that proved obviously to be costly. But when I look at and talk about who lost the game last night, it's hard not to point the finger at Dexter Lawrence, who jumps off sides on what would have been the last play of the game on the missed field goal attempt.
Way takes the snap, gets it down, kick on its way, and it is good, but there's a flag on the play.
He missed it.
Oh, he missed it.
He missed it. There's a flag down. Let's see what the flag is.
Offside on the defense number 97. It's a 5-yard penalty and a first down.
Listen, the Giants have earned this defeat if it happens.
That's a good way to put it. So that is losing the game, right? Dexter Lawrence, who is lined up literally right over the ball, jumps, a half a second before the ball is snapped. Instead of a 47-yard field goal that was missed that would have given the Giants the win, it turns into a 42-yard field goal, which, of course, I mean, you knew the outcome before the ball was even kicked, what was going to happen, but here's what happened.
Now he's going to get a chance again because Dexter Lawrence jumped offside. So now no time on the clock. Now it's a 43-yarder. Snap is good. Kick on its way. And it's good. And Washington has defeated the Giants 30-29. And for the fifth consecutive year, the New York Giants have started the season 0-2. And they have nobody, and I mean nobody, to blame but themselves.
That's a good way to put it. And this, let's not forget that Joe Judge, their head coach, prides himself on special teams. It's where he made a name for himself. And he prides himself on discipline and the little things and not making bad mistakes. And he's the same guy that during training camp was, you know, making guys run laps and sprints for making mistakes, or, you know, if there was a scuffle in practice, you know, get on the end line like they would tell you in high school and run sprints. And we're going to be disciplined and we're not going to make these mistakes. We're not going to, you know, we're going to do the little things right. And then game two of the season, they're burned by many mistakes, but especially that last one by Dexter Lawrence. That just can't happen. It can't happen. It did happen, and the Giants are 0-2.
Yeah, and how often do field goals get blocked? You know what I mean?
And you know, I can sort of understand if it's one of the guys on the ends that are trying to time the snap perfectly because they have no margin for error. They got to get in there and give themselves a chance. I mean, listen, a 47, I guess they're going with 48 since he said it was 43. 47, 48-yard field goal. Generally speaking, that, you know,
that's not
NFL kickers, right, it's not a gimme, but NFL kickers are usually money. So I understand the guys on the ends, if they're trying to get in there and they want to time it perfectly, I could see those guys being offside. The guy who's standing over the ball, lined up over the ball, and again, how many times does that guy, you know, block a kick? I get that he was trying to disrupt the play, but you cannot do that. You cannot jump offsides in that situation. Especially when you're sitting right over the ball, and that costs them the win. I do genuinely want to know how Giants fans feel about this, because as a Bills fan, I can relate. I mean, the Bills, over the course of the last 20 years, they've found a lot of stupid ways to lose games. That one last night, I feel for Giants fans last night. I'm curious how you feel, though, today, because, you know, you look at that performance by Daniel Jones. He was really good last night. He was really good. Now, they settled for field goals more than you would like, and didn't necessarily get into the end zone as much as you would like. But Daniel Jones did enough to win that game. So if that is the big question this year for you know, your fan base, which I think it is to some degree, how do you feel? Do you feel good because Daniel Jones went out there and did his thing? He made some really good throws. Wasn't perfect last night, but you know, his ability to run the football last night, I was impressed by that. Opened some eyes for me. He had that really long touchdown run called back by a questionable hold. I thought he did a lot of really good things. Obviously, the way you lost, though, it leaves a horrible taste in your mouth. So if you're a Giants fan, you want to check in, even if it's just to vent a little bit and to have some free therapy, feel free to give us a call at 315-437-7644.
I'm trying to do some research here, Steve, because you said that kickers are money from 47. Find that hard to believe.
I'm not saying it's a 90% or 100% proposition.
75% in the NFL.
That's 3 out of 4. That's, I mean, pretty good odds, right? My point is if you're sitting over the ball, you can't be the one to jump off sides. Like, I sort of understand if it was a guy on the end because they're trying to time it perfectly. But you're standing right over the ball. You don't have to time it perfectly. You'll see the ball move. You can jump, you know, you can move when the ball moves.
Okay, 47, it's 75%. 48, it drops to 68%. Okay. And then it randomly shoots back up to 71% for 49 and 50.
Okay. Generally speaking, though, NFL kickers.
That's, yes. I'm not
in
gonna,
the college game, that's a little more
I'm
dicey.
I'm not going to call you out on it. But
right. My point, you understand my point,
yes,
though, right?
Yes.
That, you know, if you give, especially if you give an NFL kicker two cracks from that distance,
right,
you're going to get burned.
Right.
Right. Because the percentages tell you, and you just laid out the percentages there. If you give a guy two cracks from there, he's yes, probably making it.
They got the one miss out of the...
Right. They got the one miss. Unbelievable. Unbelievable way to lose. In any event, if you want to call, vent, you need some therapy, feel free to check in. We're also going to give away our tickets to Syracuse Albany. We've got a pair of tickets to give away to the game tomorrow. We'll do that next at
315-437-7644. Before you go to break, people want to know what Scott Norwood's percentage was.
Yeah, okay. It's too soon. I know it happened.
It was CBW.
In our
Q Sports Talk chat. I think that's a good question.
That's not cool.
That's a really good question.
It's 30 years. It's too soon. All right. Let's take a break. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
This is Orange Nation.
All right, Stephen Pauly back with you here on a Friday edition of Orange Nation. We've got two guests still to come. In hour number two, we've got Roger Weiland, play-by-play voice of the Albany Great Danes. He'll join us at 1:15. Elena Getzenberg from ESPN's NFL Nation. She's the NFL Nation reporter for the Buffalo Bills. She'll join us at 1:30. You brought up, and I guess CBW in our QSportsTalk.com chat section brought up Scott Norwood. This actually surprised me. I looked up his stats during the break. So over the course of his career, on kicks between 40 to 49 yards, he was only 61%. Kicks 50 or more yards, he was 2 for 10 in his career. And even on kicks from 30 to 39 yards, which again, these days NFL kickers are money, he was 77%, which I don't think that's not great. So... in any event, he missed the one that he had to have. And
sounds like he missed a lot of them.
He did. He did miss a lot of them. More than I would like to admit. But yeah, that's not great. See, I do think, you know, Jordan said this during the commercial break. I do think kickers have gotten better and more reliable. I think that is true. And you see the distances that guys can kick and kick accurately, I think has changed. I mean, now, you know, a 55-yarder we saw in the Monday night game. I mean, that was, you know, 55-yarder to tie the game in the closing seconds. That was nothing. You know, these guys can easily make it from 50 plus and bordering on 60 yards. So
who was it? Justin Tucker. That
it is just, a different game now.
Justin Tucker was just ridiculous.
Jason Elam, you know, could kick it. You know, he benefited from. I mean, no, he's obviously a great kicker.
He made 90% of his kicks.
Are you talking about accuracy?
Yeah.
Now you have me wondering who the most accurate field goal kicker of all time is. Why don't you look that up while we take our call here? We've got...
Is it Scott Norwood?
It's definitely not Scott Norwood. Dave in Syracuse is on with us. He wants to talk some Giants. Dave, are you a Giants fan?
Unfortunately today, ma'am. Two observations, and I'll let you guys make a discussion on them after I'm done. Daniel Jones is not a bad quarterback. Daniel Jones has been the beneficiary, if you will, of a horrible offensive line. If the turnovers he's had, I'd say probably half of them because of his offensive line, the other half of them. If you eliminate half of those turnovers, it's because of his offensive line, period. Last night's game was a nutshell, a Giants fan for the past 7 years. I watch the whole thing. I watch every single Giants game. I've been down to Giants games, and it's every single week you expect something to go wrong, whether it's shooting themselves in the foot, a penalty, a drop pass. Evan Engram makes one catch last year, the Giants are in the playoffs. He misses a catch. Last night, instead of being one and one, they're 0-2 because Slayton misses a catch. It's always something with the Giants, and it's been like that, and to be honest with you, it's been like that since Tom Coughlin hasn't been there. They haven't been the same team. I don't know why they didn't keep him on as a GM or something even along the line, something to keep him in the organization, to keep this organization stable, because he's the one who stabilized it when he first came here. That's just my opinion. I'll hang up now and let you guys get your opinion. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, appreciate checking in, Dave. And I do sympathize. Like, in all seriousness, I sympathize. I've been a Bills fan my whole life, And for 20 years, that was them. They'd find a way to lose. You know, they would find a way. Even on Sunday, I said this to you, Paul, even on Sunday, the Bills were winning by 10 at halftime. I didn't have a good feeling because I've seen it so many times before. They should have been up by more. They squandered opportunities, and sure enough, it came back to bite them. So I feel your pain, Dave. In regards to Daniel Jones, I'm with you. I based on what I saw last night, he's not a bad quarterback.
Like
he did some really good things last night.
Yeah, you could do worse than him.
Yeah. And it's in terms of it's the same old story for the last 7 years. Again, I get it. I lived through it for two decades with my team, and you know, they're stuck in a rut right now. And when you're struggling, that's what happens. You find ways to lose games that you should win, and it does take a process, right? There, you need to learn how to win, I think, especially in the NFL. There is such a fine line in professional sports, but really especially in the NFL. There's a fine line between winning and losing in the NFL. And when you're a franchise that's struggling, again, you tend to find ways to lose games that you should win. And I'm seeing it right now with my franchise, with the Bills, that just this last year, they're starting to figure out, and I think Josh Allen's been a big part of that. And Dave, hopefully, Daniel Jones will be a big part of that for your team's future moving forward, and Saquon Barkley, and maybe they can change the culture and change the expectation. I'm starting to see with my team where they are starting to turn the tide, and now they're starting to win games that maybe they shouldn't. Last week was a bad example, but they did that last year, that they found ways to come back and win games that maybe they didn't play great. You know, that Patriots game last year for the Bills was a great example of they probably didn't deserve to win it, but they made just enough plays to get it done. They forced a fumble on Cam Newton late, and they end up winning a game that maybe they shouldn't have. So I'm starting to see it with my franchise, but it took 20 years. And I hope for the Giants that, you know, maybe Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, they are the foundation with which this can turn around. But man, that was I genuinely feel, Paulie, for Giants fans, because that was just a brutal way to lose a game last night.
Yeah, Steve, you're really sold that the Bills have turned the corner. Like,
I am.
For a franchise that has ripped your heart out multiple times,
they're different.
You're completely bought in.
I am. They're different.
They could fall apart, dude. They could just as easily fall apart. I follow two basketball teams. My NBA team is terrible always. And my favorite baseball team is terrible always. And I fall for it. And I do the same thing as you. This is the year for the Sixers. The Sixers are going to do it this year. Trust the process. Yeah, no. No, you don't. You just got to get slapped in the face with the reality that you're a Sixers fan. And secondly, I'm a Padres fan. And this is a year. No, it's not. You're doomed to suck.
So you need to understand this about me, that, you know, given my job, and yes, I grew up in this town, but given my job, I'm not allowed to root for anybody, right?
Sure.
The one team I allow myself to root for is the Buffalo Bills. And yeah, I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm more of a football and basketball guy. Like, I like the Yankees. I love the Bills. Like, the Bills are the one team that I allow myself to be a fan. So I appreciate, you know, you telling me to be cautious, but you get to do it, right? You get to buy into the Philly, and you buy into the San Diego. Let me make the same mistakes.
No, I'm just telling you.
Allow me to make the
same
mistakes.
Give yourself just a little bit of a buffer for when the season ends and they suck, and you're like,
I don't crash and burn?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. No, that is just good advice. I'm not going to listen to the advice, because no fan anywhere listens to that advice.
But Bills fans should, and it's not me being me slamming you as a fan or
it's
the fan base.
It is fair.
You should just remember who you are.
It's fair
remember
advice.
Remember where you came from.
I'm not going to listen to it, but it's fair advice. And with that, we've got to take... Oh, quickly, you were right. Justin Tucker is the most accurate kicker in NFL history. He's made 90.7% of his kicks, 91% of his kicks, essentially, over the course of his career. Most accurate kicker in NFL history.
You know who's fifth on the list, too, and doesn't get a lot of...
Gary Anderson,
yeah. Syracuse's.
That's why I was checking, because I thought he was high on that list.
And poor Gary Anderson, he's known for that 1998 NFC Championship game with the Vikings, but he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
get him on the show.
Those things have a way of
his
defining.
His story is such a great story. How the Syracuse coach at the time walked up and saw him kicking on the soccer team, and asked him if he wanted to kick football. He had never kicked footballs until he was in a game at the Dome and went on to an NFL career.
That's how it happens sometimes. That's how it happens.
He's from South Africa, playing on the playing on the Syracuse soccer team, and the football coach saw him.
Great story.
And said, come on over.
That is a great story. I love how you just say, get him on the show. You know,
get him on the show. I don't even know where he lives or if he's alive, yeah. But get him on the show.
Jordan, get him on the show.
Gary Anderson.
All right. We're up against the clock. Hour number one in the books. We'll kick off hour number two next on ESPN Radio.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Pauly Sebelia.
Hour number two of Orange Nation underway on ESPN Radio. Stephen Fonte, Pauly Sebelia with you. Until 2 o'clock.
Who am I?
You're Pauly Sebelia.
Thank you. Get
Sorry,
my name right.
I got confused because I have the same exact mask as Jordan. And I was trying to figure out which... We both have the Galaxy Media masks.
I do, too.
Trying to figure out whose was whose. But then I noticed that I've got the TV makeup smudges inside mine. So that determined that this one was mine.
Let me ask you guys a quick question. I said this to you last segment. You're a Bills fan, and you just don't get overexcited because they'll rip your heart out. What other franchises would you say are in that ballpark, Steve? I would put the Sixers in that. Been since 83, the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the Browns.
You know, there's a lot of suck to go around. You can't get into it. People are saying the Mets. The Mets have been in the World Series of the past decade, right?
The Mets isn't a bad one, though.
You're just going through Josh's favorite teams, by the way, out at the Mega
Jets. And the Jets are a good one.
And there was a certain expectation this year with the Mets, too, and yeah, they haven't lived up to that expectation. Because I think that's some of it, right? Like, there's a difference between bad teams and bad franchises and then teams that, you know, should be good or you think they're going to be good and then they rip your heart out.
Yeah.
You know? So I do think the Mets fall under that rip your heart out category.
The Jets do we just think that the Jets are just perpetually bad and they don't fall in that category? They never even give their fans a glimmer of hope?
It feels like that.
I guess being a Padres fan, I have that same feeling.
But this year, like if they don't make the playoffs this year,
it's terrible.
That's going to feel it's like horrendous. Ripping your heart out. Yeah.
They had preseason...
World Series talk.
Preseason, what was ranked the best pitching staff in baseball.
Yeah.
And yet, not so much. 15-25 since the trade deadline. Jordan is here. How about that?
Howdy.
Yankees are the same way this year. Yankees are doing everything they can to blow their playoff chances.
Are you sure you understand the risks of stock ownership?
Shut up and take my money.
Shut up! I'd buy that for a dollar.
That guy's turning this place into some kind of business.
I've been a rich man, and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every time.
It's time for Buy or Sell on Orange Nation.
All right, Jordan, we got to make it quick. We've got Roger Weiland set to join us on the other side, but give us a couple items here.
Well, Paulie, since you were kind enough to mention the Yankees, I've actually got a question for you. If you look at the AL wild card, Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, all within a half game of each other, there's a good chance there will be two AL East teams in that one-game playoff. So here's the question I present to you. Buy or sell the Yankees being the toughest of those three teams to play in a one-game wild card, and I will be more specific, because of Gerrit Cole.
Well, I was going to say that I do think the answer is yes. I will buy that because of Gerrit Cole. If I were to rank them right now, and remember on the show recently, I said, you know, mark it down here. It's going to be Blue Jays, Yankees. I think the Red Sox are going to be the outside looking in. I still believe that. If I had to rank them in terms of the teams I'm most concerned about, you know, from the outside looking in, I would put Blue Jays 1 because of the way that they can hit the ball. I'd put Yankees 2. And I'd put the Red Sox 3. So if I had to stack them in terms of like my wild card power rankings, that's the way they would be. But in the one game scenario, once they get there,
they're not getting there.
Once they get there, I think that they would have the edge because of Cole, whether the game's home or away.
And don't sleep on the Athletics either, who are 3 games back. It'll be tough.
3 games at this point is insurmountable. With that many
3
teams.
Games and a couple teams to jump makes it a tall order for them.
Look,
yes.
Crazier things have happened.
Look, this is how it's going to break down for the Yankees. They wrap the season with the Red Sox and Blue Jays.
They determine their own fate, yeah. Really.
And then they've got Tampa Bay, who's literally playing for nothing at that point at the end of the year, to wrap up. So Who
was this? Whose schedule was that?
The Yankees. The Yankees have Cleveland, Rangers, Red Sox, Blue Jays, Rays to wrap up the season.
And so, again, even if they give a few games back, they will control their own destiny.
And their inability to beat bad teams is...
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Their struggles with Baltimore this year is inexcusable.
Last night, I was listening on the way home from the Coach Baber show. They were a strike away from winning that game and had a wild pitch. And then just coughed it up and lost it in 10.
Yeah, Yankees and Giants both coughing up games right around the same time. Anytime we talk Yankees baseball, by the way, brought to you by William Matar. If you're hurt in a car, call William Matar, 315-444-4444.
Give me one more quick talking about, we were speculating as to what Deuce Chestnut's, how he'd capitalize on his name. Sierra Deuce is what we're seeing on Twitter. Do you buy or sell Sierra Deuce?
I like it. I'll buy it.
If you're not on QSportsTalk.com looking at Paulie's face.
That's not a good name.
You don't like it? What's better? What do you got?
That seems like a name that Georgetown fans would call us. Right? Sierra Deuce?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's clever.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
You don't like it?
No. Okay. No.
All right.
There were better options than that.
What? Give me a better option right off the top of your head.
I don't know. I can't off the top of my head, but yeah, that's not good.
Not good. Okay.
You know, there are no better options than bugsbegone.biz. If you need help removing pesky pests from your home, you can visit bugsbegone.biz. That's bugsbegone with two E's, just like the bug, and just like I do to Steve and Paulie every day. And I'll only say this once, I'm only a little glad you're back, Paulie.
Ooh.
But I am a little glad, and that's more than I ever thought.
All right, Roger Weiland joins us next to talk about this game tomorrow, Syracuse-Albany inside the Dome, back after this on ESPN Radio.